So with that, we've asked Lynn Hansen, who is a registered nurse, who has worked in supply chain and in the hospital for how many years? 30 years?
No, not that bad. 20 years.
20
Jeez.
Years. No, just kidding. So, a little bit, talk a little bit about linen and how she looks at something like linen. And really, it's so many different areas that she does, but we're talking about linen today and how you look at it from a cost reduction and utilization improvement opportunity.
Right, right. Thank you, Lisa. So you're right. When it comes to linen within an organization, it's one of those things similar to like supply chain, right? It just appears on the floors. It's not something that's actually in the forefront of management every day to the bodies that are consuming it within the organizations, you know? So when you look at linen, because it is an outsourced provider, not many hospitals, if at all, any of them now, manage and clean their own linens in-house. So it is all outsourced. And because of that, there is a significant vendor partnership that has to occur, because there's two forms of linen, right? So you have your non-owned customer goods, and then you have your customer-owned goods, so NOG and COG. So when you're dealing with the COG, that's the hospital's own linen, right? So you own that commodity. And you're asking then for a service of them just cleaning it and returning it back to your organization, be it the sleep lab or one of your other specialty areas. Maybe it's VIP linen. It's something very niche that you own and invested capital dollars into bringing in. But when it comes to the NOG, that's you're truly just renting this vendor's linen, right? So that's their capital. That's their commodity. And because of that, it comes with a fee. They're going to be charging you from the cost of that linen to bring it in-house and the cost of servicing and returning it to the organization. So when you look at the cost, when you talk about many embedded things that are involved in the cost of any purchase services, all these things come into factor. It's the rental cost, it's the cleaning, it's the overhead. These are all embedded fees in order for any vendor to come up with what is their price point, right? Now on top of that will be margin. So when you look at linen utilization, when you look at how linen is seen within an organization, because it's everywhere, they tend not to really realize that towel that's being used to clean up something and then thrown in the garbage is a cost. So linen utilization and tracking the difference between what is clean and delivered to an organization and what they're returning and soiled back to that plant, that is something called, your soiled, as I call it, soiled rate of return. Clean linen is less in weight than it is if it's soiled, right, with fluids and other things. So what a plant wants to make sure of is, if I give you X number of pounds to the organization, I expect so much back. And therefore, they know that you don't have a lot of stagnant inventory on the shelf, that it's not linen that's being thrown away. They need that commodity back. So they're going to constantly be on their internally from a vendor perspective. That's my commodity. That's my business. And I'm going to want to track that. But what happens, though, is if those rates become, those margins become too wide, those ratios, then you're going to end up seeing in your monthly bill things that are classified as linen loss. And that can be quite expensive, into the hundreds of thousands of dollars on some contracts, because they're not getting back what they expect. They're going to be charging it because they always have to keep that inventory cycling.
So these are just really great points. And Lynn, as maybe some of you will hopefully learn from working with us, is that she's very, very, very detailed oriented, which is a great asset for our organization and for our hospitals. So I have a couple of questions about that, Lynn. So to me, education is so important, right? So we don't see a lot of it, right? Unless we come in and we're educating, but it's kind of one of those things that once the nursing floors or the ER, once things start rolling, then they kind of forget. And I think best practices is really kind of having a continuous education program about linen. And maybe even we've helped some clients have put some signs up kind of in the locker rooms, or give mm-hmm. them ways to remember, to your point, this linen loss that's not the hospital's assets by not managing it effectively or by throwing things away,
right,
will lead to hundreds of thousands, maybe even in some larger systems in the high hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's just pure waste that just...
And on a monthly basis.
Right.
It's not like it's annual hundreds of thousands.
Right. But it's something that compounds. So if I throw something away and you throw something away and Rich throws something away and we do it every single day, it's just something that compounds in the wrong direction. So we've worked with our hospitals to put education programs into place. Also to set goals, right? So really, linen should be in an area where the organization's tracking it and really getting buy-in from everybody to say, listen, we're at... we're at 1 million pounds this month, and our goal is to get to, I don't know, 900,000 pounds. Our goal is to reduce our linen loss by 10%.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
And so, and you've got to rally everybody around. How do you, you know?
Well, you know, when you talk about linen utilization and contracts, you know, utilization as a whole, again, you talked about the granularity. This is one of those situations where it's all about getting into the weeds. You know, the utilization has to be seen as a departmental level. You know, a one med-surg floor is not typical to another med-surg floor. Mm-hmm. One ICU is not typical to another ICU. There's patient acuity that has to be taken into effect, right? There's the bed-changing policies. There's all those things. There's tons of variables. And in order for you to understand if what I'm bringing into the institution and clean linen is appropriate, that utilization, the time and the efforts need to be made to look at it from a department-to-department perspective. Because again, sitting stagnant, you know, like any other widget that you bring in from a supply chain standpoint, so much sitting on your shelf that's not being turned, like an inventory turn, it's no different than for linen. You know, you want that linen to be cycling through the department. You don't need 150 towels and them only using 50 because you're paying for the 150.
Right.
So even if they're sitting... only, exactly, that stagnant inventory is costing in that respect, then you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars to an organization. So that granularity has to happen. And you're right, it's all about education. There's a favorite saying that I used all the time, whether it be in supply chain or linen, you know, bare is not bad. Zero is bad. You don't want to go a cycle of 24 hours and see nothing.
It's not bear the animal bear.
Bear is in less than. So, you know, so if you have a level of, you know, the day that they come in and exchange that cart or replenish that cart, having a little bit of linen of
scarcity is not bad. Zero is bad. Scarcity is.
That's right. Bear is not bad. It's zero is bad.
Right.
So, you know, so working into that linen utilization is important. But when you look at, if you had anyone in your organizations, and I'm offering it out, pull an invoice from your linen provider. It's daunting, similar to your IT contracts. You know, you look at those things, the amount of line detail that's out there becomes, well, you know what, we just look at it from a month over month. If I'm used to paying, you know, $100,000 every month.
And in the next few minutes, we're going to talk to you about something that we're releasing to address this issue.
Exactly. Yes, it's a great segue. So, you know, but that's the point. You know, sometimes they look at things so from that high level,
right?
And they say, as long as my invoicing becomes consistent, right. I guess we're okay.
Or it doesn't make a jump greater than 10 or 15%.
Right.
I'm good.
Because there's multiple items. You know, maybe you're getting, and we look at that all the time too. If you have 15 different varieties of gowns coming in, and for the most part, they're only using 4 or 5 throughout the institution, again, you're paying for everything that's just sitting on a shelf.
And what are your thoughts about doing a linen audit or a linen assessment? Do you feel an organization should do something like that every year to have a third party come in and review?
Oh, absolutely. And it, because you have that impartial eyes, right? If you end up having, and I'm not saying, you know, your vendor partner should be that. It should be a partner. Your departments, your staff, your in-house linen handlers, they should be learning from your vendors. But when you have something done independently that can ask some of the tough questions of accountability, that's what you want. Because sometimes your in-house people don't really know what to ask. And again, I have relationships, so, you know, I don't want to make someone upset. You don't want to feel like you're babysitting them. You know, there's a lot of emotions and politics that sometimes come into play. If you do an independent linen audit, like any other audit that's ever done on that, it makes life easier. You have someone else that can ask those tough questions of accountability.
Right.
And go around and physically do those counts and get true counts. I really counted 10 or 15 or 30. Not, well, they were plus my, well, it looks like five.
Right. But these linen audits and assessments really have an ROI. They pay for themselves because you're able to identify things on the front lines.
Exactly.
And I think we're big believers in looking at invoices. We're real big believers in looking at the front line as opposed to just saying, okay, this price per pound should be here.
Right.
Really, anybody could do that.
Exactly. And because they're looking at it from just that 30,000 foot benchmarking perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's the low hanging fruit, right? We're just going to go in, give a price and get that savings and move on. But when you look at that utilization, if they have, you know, 150 different SKUs coming in and they don't need 150 SKUs, not only did you have an opportunity in that price per pound, but you had an opportunity in decreasing the overall linen coming into the organization, decreasing those SKUs.
Right. So I have a question. So recently you did a mm-hmm. linen assessment. There were so many great things you found, but I love the story where you came back and talked to me about the, what was it, the baby towel?
Oh, the baby blankets?
Yeah. No,
the burping cloths.
Tell us about that.
Okay. So again, it goes back to utilization. So if you're looking at a linen cart and you have burping cloths, so like what people normally know as like the cloth diapers, but they use them as a burping cloth, and towels and washcloths. And it was just, something was just sticking at me saying, do you use these?
Burping
and
cloths.
The burping cloths. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, actually, we really don't use them. Most of the time, probably, 90% of the time, people pull a towel or sometimes just the washcloth, then the burping cloths. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so you have it on, it's that cycling inventory, right? That's that concept of stagnant inventory. So you have something going up and coming down and going up and coming down. Now I'm paying for all that motion, I'm paying for the linen right. coming in. And it's never going out. It's never being used.
Right.
And so just removing that from the inventory, again, it's that concept of decreasing those SKUs.
Right. And I don't know what the specific savings was there, but it's enough to...
Well, when you're talking about large institutions, or you have, every little bit counts,
absolutely.
Right? So we talk about that with anything. You know, one change, one click of the dial has a domino effect on
absolutely.
Other things.
Absolutely.
When you looked at, the great one is everything's based on weight. And you have things like cloth... chucks, like the big chalk, and people that are out there know what I'm talking about. They're the big cloth pads that go under patients. Well, again, you got that redundancy. Many, many institutions due to, from a clinical perspective, from skin integrity and, bed sores and things of that nature. So what they're trying to do is kind of eliminate the use of chucks, but use only disposables, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. the whole point. But yet you have institutions that are then carrying both.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm carrying paper, disposable, and for the skin integrity, but yet I'm still bringing in the others, and then you'd have to ask the question, then why?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that variation and maybe in clinical practice,
mm-hmm.
well, that concept of, everything's a snowball effect, you keep on peeling back the onion and mm-hmm. you get more and more questions and more answers. So maybe that'll identify in your organization clinical variability in your house.
So I have a question for you. So much is tied to, patient experience and HCAHPS.
Right.
And so, hospitals have this balance of really wanting the patients to be comfortable and have extra blankets and
mm-hmm.
and have this kind of being able to be comfortable. So how do you strike that balance, right? So what I hear you saying is that there's operational things, just kind of inefficiencies and waste, and the audit will uncover that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, nothing you do ever impacts the patient care, the patient experience, right?
No, absolutely not. And it's not a cliche. It's not that we're not here to take things away from you. What you're looking at doing is becoming efficient, right? What I want to get rid of is the stuff that is not being used.
Mm-hmm.
You want it, hey, if Mrs. Jones needs 3 or 4 blankets because she's 90 years old and anemic
right.
and she's cold
right.
all the time, so be it.
Right.
But it's being used. That's what it's for. You
mm-hmm.
want your product, whether it's the bedpan, the water pitcher, or
right.
linen, it needs to be used.
Right.
What you don't want is just a volume of stuff coming in and sitting stagnant.
Right, or something that's not dirt, like let's say something that is a blanket being thrown into red waste.
Well, that's a whole nother,
right.
from a patient experience standpoint,
yeah.
you use what needs to, right? You don't take food off your kid's plate, they're hungry, you feed them.
Right.
What you don't want to do is fill it up and then it all goes in the garbage.
Right.
Same concept. So we want to make sure that whatever's coming in as a linen from a utilization standpoint, you just are using. From that perspective on a linen loss, because now you're talking to linen loss and education, everybody, myself included, in my earlier parts of my nursing career, you know, everybody felt that if there was some really filthy, disgusting, loaded with whatever, oh my God, I'm not putting this into the hamper. I'm just throw it away. God, they can't clean us. No, they can. That's why they're there. Mm-hmm. And it's that misnomer mm-hmm. that if it's so totally filthy, I should just throw it away. Mm-hmm. Don't put it in a hamper. Whether it's saturated with blood or any other bodily fluid, it can go into the hamper. And that's that concept of education. And
so what goes into the red bag? So
nothing. Not one piece of linen should ever hit a red
bag. Okay, I just want everyone to hear that.
Never. Your linen company would be very upset with you, and so will your checkbooks.
So, Lynn, as we kind of wrap this up, do you have anything else that you'd like to say? You've done an amazing job at educating us. You know, is there anything else you'd like to say before we kind of wrap up your...
I think the biggest, and I kind of started with it, there's a lot when it comes to education. There's education to your employees, but there's also self-education. You know, the person that is the keeper of all the golden information is that vendor. And what you want to be able to do is drive accountability and education from them. They're a resource. You know, we're resources. You know, you want to be able to learn how to manage linen. And all too often, there's a lot of companies that come in, organizations, just because of the complexity, and they literally hand the keys over and then go, well, you know, this is being outsourced, and walk away and think everything is going to be perfect. As long as I have linen, my nurses are happy, we should be okay. But they don't realize that there needs to be a level of education and some level of oversight that the organization has to have to that vendor. So it's a lot about education, a lot about vendor partnership, and really getting in there and understanding what you're paying for and how you're paying
for
it.
Well, I love what you said about the fact that it's a partnership. And so there's some expectations of management of your linen partner that you hire. There's expectations of cost savings. I always like to, we just don't look at that per pound cost. That's just scratching the surface. It's utilization, it's education, and there's audits. And there's accountability, like you said, and how mm-hmm. do you put the pieces of accountability in place so that they are also driving cost savings, right?